And from the KTOO newsroom in Juneau, I'm Yvonne Cromery. Alaska Division of Elections officials say they have a solid system of checks and balances in place that have long proved the state elections are secure. But misinformation, skepticism, and hostility around election integrity are taking their toll on Alaska election workers. Alaska Public Media reporter Jeremy Shea has been reporting on the issue. He sat down with Alaska Public Media's Casey Grove to answer some common questions.
So what are state election officials most concerned about lately?
Lieutenant Governor Kevin Meyer, who's responsible for oversight of the Division of Elections, he says his biggest concern is actually homegrown misinformation from social media, especially. Election officials have been spending a lot of time addressing the public's election concerns. Meyer says some people just can't be convinced.
They still seem to believe the MyPillow guy before they'll believe me or even some of our regional supervisors.
Meyer's talking about Mike Lindell, the CEO of MyPillow. That guy's more famous now for promoting false claims about election fraud than for his own business. Meyer said when he began the job 4 years ago, malicious foreign actors were top of mind. He says they're still in play, but now skeptics like Lindell and his supporters are complimenting foreign efforts to undermine our democracy.
Does all this scrutiny and skepticism have an impact on how the state runs elections?
So the division's processes and procedures haven't changed much. Substantive changes really have to be changed in state law, which doesn't happen often. But there are other impacts. Lieutenant Governor Meyer said one regional election supervisor told him he felt like he was going to get punched in the face during a recent primary. That supervisor quit, and Meyer said it was already tough to recruit and retain election workers without a sometimes abusive work environment.
So you mentioned that there are a lot of checks and balances to ensure our elections are accurate. Can you walk me through some of those checks and balances?
One of the most common concerns is that the machines that scan our ballots and count our votes are error-prone or may have been intentionally manipulated somehow to alter vote counts. You know, so for the sake of argument, let's say the scanner I feed my ballot into at my polling place after I vote is somehow compromised. Election workers actually test these machines before they're used in the field, so it would likely get caught through one of those tests before any real ballots were scanned. After a ballot is scanned, it isn't discarded, so that physical paper is still there. With a few exceptions, state law requires a hand count of those physical ballots from one randomly selected precinct for every House district in the state. So that's 40 recounts, basically. If a hand count is off of the machine count by more than 1%, that's a red flag. And they started doing this back in 1998, and they've never hit that threshold. The discrepancies they do find are usually caused by ballots that are poorly marked that the machines can't read.
So are the machines themselves secure?
Yeah, in two ways. Like, so physically, when they're not in use, they're stored in monitored rooms with alarms on them. Access is limited and logged. Carol Thompson has been with the Division of Elections for 32 years and now manages election operations. She says she's dealt with her share of 2 a.m. alarms from these.
So if somebody were to break in, bells and whistles will go off, including if it's a mouse.
Which has actually happened. As far as Ocean's 11 Dream Team of hackers and burglars, not so much. The other way machines are secured is through an air gap. That's like a techie way of saying the machines involved in counting votes are not on any networks. They don't talk to each other electronically. They don't have Bluetooth or Wi-Fi. Between the air gap and physical security measures, the idea is they can't be hacked.
That was Alaska Public Media's Jeremy Shea talking with Casey Grove. If you want to dig deeper, election officials have put together a lot more information available at elections.alaska.gov. And Alaska is at the forefront of climate change in the U.S. It's warming faster than any other state, and more than 60% of Alaskans say it's an issue they're concerned about. We asked candidates running for statewide office about their plans to address climate change, and their responses varied widely. Alaska Public Media's Kavita George reports.
Alaskans are already experiencing climate change in countless ways. A historic fall storm hit western Alaska this year, fueled by warming ocean temperatures. Permafrost thaw is buckling roads, and receding sea ice is making subsistence hunts more dangerous. At the same time, Alaska's economy is heavily dependent on oil and gas, which could explain why every candidate running for U.S. House and Senate and state governor says they support continued development in the state.
We need to drill, baby, drill.
Republican candidate for U.S. House Sarah Palin repeated her pro-development slogan at a debate last month, arguing that increasing oil production is the only way to bring down historic inflation. On a recent candidate survey, Palin called climate change a, quote, fraud. She also expressed doubts about increasing investment in renewable energy.
You know, a lot of the green energy projects, a lot of those are boondoggles. A lot of those are just some crony capitalism projects that politicians pass on to their friends.
Every statewide candidate we surveyed, except Palin, agreed that human activities are driving climate change. U.S. Senate candidate Kelly Chewbacca, U.S. House candidate Nick Begich, and Governor Mike Dunleavy, all Republicans, acknowledged the impacts of human activities, but said that shouldn't translate to scaling back resource development. Democratic gubernatorial candidate Les Guerra says he supports ConocoPhillips' Willow Project and selling Alaska's oil while it's still marketable. But at the same time, Guerra has been a loud proponent of ending oil tax credits as a way to fund state services and shift to clean energy. He's talked about investing in carbon sequestration for natural gas production and building more renewable energy projects across Alaska.
The world is asking for clean energy, right? They're not asking for 1960s energy anymore. We have to catch up with the world.
Democratic House Representative Mary Paltola, also a Willow Project supporter, says Alaska is uniquely positioned to be a leader in tackling climate change. She's promised to fight for funding to support renewable energy development and study the salmon and halibut collapse in western Alaska, which has been linked to climate change. Pasha Madavi is an associate professor at the University of California, Santa Barbara, who researches environmental politics. He says while Alaska is feeling the brutal environmental impacts of climate change, it's also contending with the economic impacts of a world that is slowly transitioning out of fossil fuels.
That's a distinction that kind of exists across these races. You know, who is going to, at the bare minimum, just tackle the problems that Alaskans are facing right now? And then who's going to not only do that, but allow the state to thrive in the context of the transition?
Dunleavy and Chewbacca are less focused on pulling away from fossil fuels. They say oil and gas development should happen at the same time as investment in renewables. Here's Chewbacca at a recent debate.
I don't think we take an either-or approach, though, to those of us who want clean air, clean water, and clean land.
Both say that energy produced in Alaska is a, quote, cleaner option than relying on sources elsewhere in the world. In a candidate questionnaire, Dunleavy noted, for example, Alaska has laws against flaring or venting natural gas. He wrote, quote, stopping resource production in Alaska will only push it to other places with fewer environmental safeguards, end quote. Dunleavy says Alaska can be a leader in renewable energy at the same time.
We are doing everything we can, and we are, on renewables. AEA has got hundreds of millions of dollars, I should say, going towards renewable projects across Alaska.
Madavi says across the country, Americans are more concerned about climate change than ever, but candidates are split in how they're talking about it. And it's the same in Alaska. Democrats, he says, are more often discussing the environmental and economic impacts of climate change than their Republican counterparts. In Alaska, he says, that translates to a conversation where some candidates are willing to discuss a future when oil and gas is less relevant, and others aren't. Reporting in Anchorage, I'm Kavitha George.
Local police and Alaska State Troopers responded to Lathrop High School in Fairbanks yesterday for what turned out to be a fake active shooter report. Fairbanks Police Department spokesperson Teal Soden said they were alerted just before 2 p.m. about something happening at the school.
FPD received a 911 call from someone who reported that there was an active shooter at Lathrop High School and that students had been shot. FPD, as well as other area law enforcement officers, immediately responded to the school. They cleared the school. There was no confirmation that there was any active shooter or that there were any injuries. At this time, it appears to have been a hoax call.
According to a message sent out by Fairbanks North Star Borough School District Chief Administrator Karen Moline, Lathrop High School, as well as nearby Hunter Elementary, Ryan Middle, and Barnett Magnet School were all locked down, and students and staff remained in classrooms until law enforcement finished clearing Lathrop of any threat. A fuzzy video shared on social media appears to show police detaining someone. Soden confirms that the FPD officers encountered a student as they entered the school and that he was checked for firearms and put into a secure classroom. She says the student was not handcuffed or otherwise restrained, and that the same thing happened with a couple other students. A police officer was at Lathrop this morning, and the school district also has an emotional support team on site. It's illegal to make a fake 911 call, and Soden says the hoax shooter call is being investigated. You're listening to KTOO.